Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is our second lesson reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, one more powerful than I will come. With characteristic humility, John the Baptist pointed to the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was not the first one to do that. Moses did it also with different words. Moses told Israel, God will raise up a prophet like me, one who would be revealed as that Savior from sin. Now, both of these men did not, by their own work, bring a single person to faith, but rather they prepared for the work of the one who would, by the power of his word, bring people to faith, Jesus Christ. It is by that powerful work of Jesus that you and I are members of God's family, that we are the brothers and sisters of Christ. The writer to the Hebrews also describes that work of the one who would be revealed, that has done that for us. He would come so that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And it is this labor of love that makes Jesus greater than even Moses. In our text, the unknown author of the letter to the Hebrews draws that comparison between Jesus and Moses to show Jesus' superiority to the one who came before. We see, first of all, that Moses served faithfully in God's house as a servant. But Jesus served faithfully over God's house as the Son. To Israel, Moses was a hero of faith. And he was a hero of faith because of the service that he rendered to them. He rendered that service to them because God had appointed him to do that, to lead God's people, to speak God's word to them, to make that revelation of the coming Savior. Moses ruled faithfully, served God faithfully over his house as a servant. And that house of God, in Moses' case, was the Old Testament church. That tiny baby whom Pharaoh's daughter pulled out of the reed basket grew into a man who repented of his overzealousness, of his ego, and became a faithful leader and servant over God's house for four decades. Moses' desire, of course, was to help God's people. And to help God's people, he used the only thing that can help, and that is God's word. And that's why Moses was accounted as being faithful. Because when God had raised him up as a prophet, he raised him up to use that word of God to serve. And that's exactly what Moses did. We know that the primary word of God that Moses used was the law in all of its elements, ceremonial, civil, and moral. But God also had Moses talk about what was going to happen in the future Literally, it reads, God would reveal to Moses in the future. And God would reveal to Moses the things that were going to happen. And what was going to happen is that God would send an apostle and a priest who would be greater than Moses because he would do that work of salvation. Moses recognized very clearly, and we see this morning, that Moses' work was preparatory, not unlike John the Baptist. Both Moses and John the Baptist had preparatory work to get people's hearts ready for the epiphany, for the revelation of the Savior of the world, whom we see in Jesus Christ. Both men used primarily the law to show people their sins, to shut their mouths before God, to hold them accountable to God for their sinful action. But both of those men also pointed ahead to the revelation of Christ. Just one example of that preparatory work of Moses was all the animal sacrifices that were part of the ceremonial law. The blood of all these animals, and we'll think about this a little bit more when Lent begins. The blood of all those animal sacrifices did not pay for a single sin, but it pointed the people's eyes ahead to the perfect Lamb of God who would come, whose blood would pay for all of our and the world's sin. We have somewhat of a parallel even today, as we have a type or a picture of something that God one day is going to reveal to us. And that is our worship service as a type of heaven. We are gathered before the presence of God. We're gathered together with our fellow believers. We're holy through the forgiveness of our sins. And we spend our time hearing God's word and singing his praises. So our regular public worship is for us a promise and a picture of that glorious day when we will be in heaven. We might say in a sense, and certainly not in a derogatory sense, that servants are part of the household furnishings. That doesn't mean that they're not important. It doesn't mean that their work isn't necessary. It doesn't mean that the master of the house does not love them. But it does mean that they're not one of the family. They're lesser than one of the children in the family. And so we see that Jesus, in his work of completing our salvation, as the Son, is greater than Moses, who was the servant in God's house. He was important. His work was necessary. He was loved by God. But he was not the Son. He prepared people's hearts for the work of Christ to come. But he did not do that work himself. And so the writer to these Hebrew Christians is trying to show them and remind them, we love Moses. We love the law, not as a way of salvation, but we love the law that still shows us our sin, that still curbs our sinful nature, that still shuts our mouths when we try to claim anything before God. We love the law that holds us accountable to God for all of our transgression. But we fix our eyes on one who is greater. We don't keep our eyes fixed on the law that was shared to us by a servant, but But now we keep our eyes fixed on the gospel, which is ours through the Son, Jesus Christ. He says, brothers and sisters, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the apostle and the priest whom God has sent for us to give us that heavenly calling. An apostle is one who is sent out with God's word. Jesus Christ is that perfect apostle sent to earth, sent out into the world even today through the word, sharing that good news of our salvation. Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the sacrifice who represented all of us, who represented the whole world before God under our sins, to offer the full payment for those sins on Calvary's cross. You and I share, and all believers share, in that heavenly calling, not through the law, not through our works, but through the gospel, through Christ's work. We don't share in that heavenly calling through the servant. We share in that heavenly calling through the one who is greater than the servant, that is the Son. And so the writer to the Hebrews did not want his readers to confuse those two. Don't confuse Moses with Christ. And unfortunately, that's what's happening today in so many confessions, that Moses becomes the Savior. The law becomes the thing that saves us. Doing good works and keeping the commandments and living a righteousness of our own is what gives us a heavenly calling, they say. But they've got the servant confused with the Son. They've got his preparatory work compared with the completing, fulfilling work of Christ to die on the cross. It is our call to proclaim salvation in Christ by keeping him in the forefront of our message. The writer to the Hebrews also uses a different example, and that is the example of a house in the different way that he did before. He compared the servant of the house with the son of the house when it comes to our salvation. And now he talks about God building a house and God owning and ruling over that house. He is more important than the house. You know, builders can build some wonderful houses, but the house didn't build itself. They're not as important as the one who built them. He has all the wisdom and the knowledge and the skill to do that. Every house is built by someone. Houses don't pop out of the ground like mushrooms. Kind of a sidelight, this is a very good passage about creation. God is the creator of all things. And when you worship creation, when you worship something that God has made, then you are robbing the Creator of the glory and the honor and the power and the love and the skill that He uses to create all things. That's also true of the church. God builds His church out of living stones, out of you and me and all believers. We're important, but we're not nearly as important as God. Our works are not nearly as important as Christ's work. In fact, our works aren't important at all compared to Christ's work. God is the builder of His house, the church, not we in our work. We, like Moses, are part of the furnishing. We're the servants in the house who take that word of God out into the world. But it's not our work. Even that sharing of Christ that brings anybody to faith. It is the power of what we share. It is the power of the Christ that we reveal that changes hearts and brings them to faith. And so Paul, or rather the writer to the Hebrews, says that then our boasting is not in ourselves. Our boasting is not in who we are and our hope. Our boast is not in the law. We know Moses was great. We still believe that the law is great, and we still use it for all of the purposes that God intended it. But we know that Christ is greater than the one who preceded him, the one who came before him. Jesus is greater than Moses. The gospel is greater than the law, because it is what restores us and saves us. That is the hope in which we stand firm and in which we boast. Amen.